If we want to draw close to God, we need to take a good look at our whole life. How much time do we spend in God's Word versus how much time do we spend doing other things?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to our Building Foundation series as we continue studying through the book of Ezra. Today we come to chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, with the message titled, The Preaching and the Protest. Now last time, we saw how the work stopped, and not because of unfaithfulness, but because of opposition. So, after a long pause, God speaks again, this time through the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Their message stirs the people, and the leaders rise up to rebuild the house of God. The work that had been sitting still begins again. But as the building restarts, questions come. Authority is challenged and opposition returns. Yet, this time, something is different. The people don't stop. They keep building. God often restarts His work through His Word. When He speaks, it gives courage to move forward, even when opposition hasn't gone away. So, is there something God has already called you to that you've stopped doing, and He is now calling you to step back in and begin again? Let's join Pastor Ben in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, in today's title, The Preaching and the Protest. Here's Pastor Ben.
Intertwine that with your life, okay? You decide, I'm going to really be on fire for God. You decide, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be at church. I'm going to study. I'm going to have my quiet time. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do whatever God's calling me to do. And the enemy comes in and he throws all of these obstacles and oppositions in your way. And there are times when a lot of people give up. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here on Wednesday night. So you're on fire. You want what God has for you. You're ready to hear His voice. You're ready to just get that nugget of truth that you can just feast on tonight and tomorrow. Just, oh, Lord, you spoke to me, man. I just didn't realize this. And so you're here, but there are a lot of people, when the opposition comes, they're done. A lot of times they don't understand who God is. They don't understand the heart of God. Because see, that was me when I was 17. I remember getting saved and I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And I gave my life to the Lord, but I really felt like I had to be a perfect person, a perfect Christian. Like, and 2 weeks in, I went in prayer and I was like, God, I can't be a Christian. Like he would be upset. Oh man, we were hoping you'd be on our team, dude. Okay, well, I guess that's what I thought. Lord, I can't be a Christian because I keep messing up all the time. I keep blowing it. I keep sinning. I'm a kid. I'm 17. And you got all these hormones raising and all this stuff happening. And you're just like, I just felt like I couldn't be a Christian, even though I had prayed this sinner's prayer. And the enemy was coming in and trying to stop that closeness with God. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, His people says, hey, it's not time. It's not time. Well, 15 years go by. And here's what Haggai says. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple lie in ruins? Good question. Hey, are you happy living in your houses while the church just lays there in ruins? He says, now therefore, this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, consider your ways. Do a heart check. Do an inventory. He says, let's take a look at your life. You have sown much and you're bringing in little. You eat and you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earn wages to put into a bag with holes. It's like your money's going everywhere. He says, listen to what the Lord says. Take a good look at yourself. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. What do we need to do by way of application? You and I, we need to get serious about God. Consider your ways. You ready? You ready for the conviction? You ready? Okay, because I'm going to step on my toes as well as yours. If we want to draw close to God, we need to take a good look at our whole life. How much time do we spend in God's word versus how much time do we spend doing other things?
I'm not going to Calvary. That's just, I'm just feel convicted.
No, no, no. This is what he's saying. He's saying, consider your ways. And I know for me, I have no reason to complain how close I am to God, because there are times when I will watch TV for 3 or 4 hours, whatever show we're watching, and it's my fault. It's my choice. And the Lord says, consider your ways, Ben.
Well, God, but I really want you to speak to me. I haven't really.
And he's like, okay, but you pray. And in your quiet time, you're praying just a little bit. But hey, how about this, Ben? How about you go to the mountains and get some wood? What does that mean? Spend some time with me. Take some time. It's funny that Pastor Soph taught on 1 John chapter 4, because that was really what I was wanting to do on vacation. After I read our one-year Bible, I was just kind of going through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, just wanting God to speak to me, just me and the Lord. No teaching that I wanted to hear. I was just like, okay, Lord, what are you really saying? So go to the mountains, he says. Go, guys. Go get the wood. Go to the mountains. Bring the wood from the temple, that I may take pleasure and be glorified. You looked for much, but indeed came with little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and the grain and the new wine and the oil and whatever brings forth on men and livestock, and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. This is where they got to the point. They said, oh, whoa. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. And the Lord God sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, this high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. Notice, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the 6th month of the 2nd year of King Darius. Guys, guess what happened? They were stoked to do it. They said, sometimes we need just that gentle, beautiful reminder where we are. And sometimes we need that little push from behind to go, hey, let's get going. Oh, wow, Lord, sorry. But I love the fact that God doesn't just go, hey, go. He says, no. Haggai says, he's going to be with you. Go. You and I, let's purpose. Let's purpose in our heart. Lord, we want to walk closer to you. What do I need to do? I'm going to read my Bible before I go to bed every night. I'm just going to read a book. I'm not going to try to dissect it. I just want to draw close. Lord, you speak to me. If I fall asleep reading the Bible, how cool is that? But whatever God is putting for you to do, do it to draw closer. If you haven't prayed with your wife and you haven't prayed with your husband, do it. Husbands, pray for your wives. Put that covering before they go out into the world. Do it. Get up 15 minutes earlier if your life is busy. We'll see. I mean, this is, God is with us. Notice, and they came and they worked on the house. So God calls Haggai. Haggai goes, hey, here's the deal. Don't you just love it? God is so amazing. Why? Think about what he did. He didn't hold any punches, but he's like, oh, I know you all are doing okay. You're trying. God's like, look, take a look at your heart. This is what's going on. You're not putting in any work and you expect the temple to grow. Stop. I'm going to be with you. And that didn't mean the opposition stopped, guys. It just means that we got back to work. Can I get an amen? Because we need to get back to work. And I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. We got to get back to work. Got to get back to work. Church, listen to me. Adam yesterday sent me a video about a pastor who was really saying, and he was talking about, I'm not going to go into the video, but I want to tell you this, and I pray you're with me. We're in a war. We're in a war for souls. We're in a war. There's people out there who are dying and going to hell. This church, you are in a war. And we're getting complacent. And we're getting comfortable. And it's time we go, okay, it's time. Our foundation is being built because God wants to use us in amazing ways. And what I mean by that is I don't mean, well, all of a sudden Calvary Chapel exploded and they're at 15. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is going out those doors and being the light and glorifying God in all that we do so that people see. But there's a war. There's a war. There's a big danger, church, of living in West Texas here in the Bible Belt that we just kind of go about our business and feel like everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. Yeah, everybody's saved. Yeah, saved. Everybody's finding their own way to God. There's a war. We have to do our best. We have to do our best. We have to be men and women of prayer. We have to be men and women who fast and pray for the lost. We have to be men and women who are not ashamed of the gospel to share the good news. Nobody's looking for you to be perfect. They're just looking for you to share the gospel. Let me tell you about Jesus. Do you remember the time in your life when you had divine appointments? God would, and you just knew God's going, hey, you go speak to them. And you would, and you'd be like, listen, God just got, and you just did it. You had this boldness, and now you're just like, I know what God does. He goes, well, listen, if you're not going to be obedient, I'm not going to ask you if you're not going to do it anyway. What happened during those 15 years before Haggai came, guys? They focused on themselves. Let's build my house. You see, if the temple wasn't being built, the foundation in their heart wasn't being built in them. This is from the Lord. Ready? All they were doing in Jerusalem was the same thing they were doing in Babylon. Just the location has changed. They were still focused on them. And we have to be so careful, so careful. Okay, back in Ezra. God sends the prophet Haggai and Zechariah. They prophesied to the Jews. We saw what he said, right? So verse 2 says, so Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, rose up, notice, and they began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Isn't that cool? The pastors of the church were alongside doing the work. All right, it's time to build. It's time to build. I like the fact, guys, and you can jot this down. Zechariah means the Lord remembers. That's what his name means, the Lord remembers. And it's a fitting name for a prophet of what? Of restoration. The prophet was called to encourage and mobilize God's people to accomplish the task they began, yet they lost momentum in completing. That's not a hard thing to do. Being very honest with you, because we're going to go into obedience, but being very honest with you, when I drove up here 21 years ago, my heart was on fire. I wanted to see God do an amazing work. Everything we did was for the glory of God. Every person in the grocery store, that was a potential person to come to your church. And I get it, because there are times after 21 years, you're just like, okay, Lord, I've been here. And you don't have that zeal and that love you had that you once had. I know. And that's my prayer. God, bring me back to that place. I'm not sure if it was the Righteous Brothers, I think it, or the Everly Brothers, but they used to sing, you've lost that loving feeling. Joe, do you remember? You would know because you were back in the day. Which one was it, Joe? Righteous Brothers? Thank you. Music guy. That's how I feel sometimes. Maybe you feel that way too. You've lost that loving feeling. You don't have that affection for God that you once had. Oh, you love him. He's your all in all, but you just don't have that zeal that you used to have and feel like that at times. I love that God sends these pastors to encourage. Now, some things that we can apply to our lives. Guys, jot this down, okay? Number one, obedience. We've covered both verses, but think about this. They obeyed. They started to build the temple. God spoke and they obeyed. Obedience is key in our lives. Obedience is key. And sometimes in our lives, we go through times where the work stops and we're not walking forward with Jesus. But maybe tonight your spirit would be renewed and we get a fresh word from the Lord. And our only response at that time would be, yes, Lord, I obey. I obey. Why is it important to be obedient to God's word? Well, number one, according to scripture, obedience to God proves your love to him. 1 John 5:2-3. It also demonstrates your faithfulness to him. Obedience does. 1 John 2:3-6. It glorifies him in the world, 1 Peter 2:12. And it also opens avenues of blessings for us, John 13:17. When we obey the Lord, we can live a life of joy without shame, rooted deeply in the Lord and confident in our eternal hope. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Our obedience is actually part of our assurance that we truly know him. Obedience. Here's the whole sum of the message. You ready? The work stopped. God sent these prophets and the work began again. Obedience. They were like, oh, okay, okay. But as we close, let me give you eight reasons very quickly why obedience is important. Eight reasons. You ready? Here's number one. Jesus calls us to obedience. That's important. Jesus calls us to obedience. In Jesus, we find the perfect model of obedience. As his disciples, we follow Christ's example as well as commands. Our motivation for obedience is love. John 14 and 15 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love the Lord, be obedient. Be obedient. Jesus calls us to be. I like the second one. You ready? Jot this down. Obedience is an act of worship. An act of worship. Oftentimes we think worship, we come in, we sing, I worship. No. Obedience is when the Bible places a strong emphasis on obedience, it's important to remember that a believer is not justified or made righteous by our obedience. Why? Because salvation is a free gift of God and we can do nothing to merit it. So it has to be an act of worship. Why are you obeying? Because I love God. It's worship. Just like praying is worship. Number three, God rewards obedience. Over and over, we read in God's word that he blesses and rewards obedience. For example, Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and, what's that word? Keep it. You're blessed when you keep it. You go, oh, okay, okay. Number four, obedience proves to God our love. We talked about that. Look at this. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. I'm referenced that. By this we know that we love the children of God when the love of God and keep his commandments, right? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and the commandments are not burdensome. How do you know? How do you know you love God? How do people know you love? By your obedience. 2 John verse 6 says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments, that we're obedient. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. You go, Ben, what is he saying? Obedience proves to God our love. Number five, obedience to God, well, it demonstrates our faith. It demonstrates your faith. It's the evidence that you have a walk with God. You're obedient. You're trusting him. You're saying yes to him. You're moving forward in your walk. Number six, obedience is better than sacrifice. You guys know this. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 says this. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? ? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as in iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Okay? So he's talking to Samuel here, and he says, I'm to Saul, and he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. I could get into the whole story of 1 Samuel. You guys know the story. Saul was disobedient, should have wiped out the Amalekites, killed the Amalekite king, didn't do it. Number seven, we know this one, disobedience leads to sin and death. To sin and death. You realize that when you are disobedient to God, you realize, guess what happens? You allow sin in your life. It starts to compromise, and disobedience of Adam brought sin and death into the world. But Christ's perfect obedience restores our fellowship with God and to everyone who believes in him. Last one, church. Through obedience, we experience the blessing of holy living. Through obedience, holy living. Only Jesus is perfect. Therefore, only he could walk in sinless obedience. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, we grow in holiness. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your great love. We thank you or just a wake-up call on a Wednesday night. Oh, Lord, we need a jump start sometimes. I need one. I've lost that loving feeling. And so, God, tonight, I thank you. I thank you for the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, who are the jumper cables, if you will, to the children of Israel to get them moving, to get them going. I thank you. I thank you that we continue to build the foundation. I thank you for that picture illustration of the temple. But more than anything, I thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and in us resides you. Father, I mentioned to the congregation that we're at war. We're at war with the enemy who wants to send as many people to hell as possible. And Lord, without you, they cannot get to heaven. And so it's your beautiful conviction, Lord, that brings us to the place where we repent and we come to you. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you tonight, Lord. Open up our hearts and we invite you inside. If you're here today and God was speaking to you and you're not in a right relationship with him and you're asking the questions, to be honest, if I died tonight, I'm not sure where I would go. You were saying some things, Ben. You were talking about obedience. I don't even have a relationship to be obedient to. Let me say this to you. God loves you. He has a plan for you. He brought you here. You're watching online. It's no accident. You're listening via podcast. It's no accident. God's going to take his holy word and use it. But if you're here today and you're not right with God and he's knocking on your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to be right with him. I'm just going to ask you real quick, and nobody's going to see you. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. We're all praying. But if you're here today and you're not right with God and you want to be, would you do me a favor? Would you just lift up your hand so I can pray for you? If you're watching online, just lift up your hand. I can't see you, but God can. Okay, if you're listening on the radio, just God knows your heart. But I pray for these hands that were raised. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you. Would you pray this prayer with me? Mean it, all of it on your heart. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You say something like this: Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that you are God's son. I believe everything in this word. I believe that you came to earth and you died for me. You died upon a cross for my sins, and I give them to you now, Lord. And I believe, God, that you were buried and that you were resurrected on the third day. I believe you're coming back, but I believe that I cannot get to heaven without you. And so I open up my heart and I invite you inside. And I ask God that you would come in and be my Lord and be my God and be my Savior and be my friend. Here's my declaration, Lord. I choose this day to follow you, Jesus, for forever I am yours, in Jesus' name. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue,
Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.